Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm your host, Chris Cordani. On Book Spectrum, we don't focus on specific genres and not only on fact or fiction. We introduce our listeners to tomes from people of various backgrounds, spanning a variety of subjects all over the, as we say, spectrum. As we're taping in the midst of a worldwide pandemic, the question continues, what are better approaches to holistic health and care? There are quite a few medical schools of thought on this, and on the way to handle the current COVID-19 outbreak, who should we listen to and of whom should we be wary? With me to talk about this as a medical doctor who is often has thoughts and ideas which go against conventional wisdom, but we'll find out why. His name is Dr. Richard Ruling. His new book, Health, Happiness, and Destiny Come from Wise Choices, might be an eye-opener for the reader. Welcome to Book Spectrum, Dr. Ruling.
Happy to be with you, Chris. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity.
Well, thank you for coming on with us. And your book gives credit, both gives credit and takes aim to parts of the medical profession, Dr. Ruling, but it clearly spells out for the readers the difference between healthcare and medical care. So let's start there.
Well, when I was teaching at the School of Public Health, this was years ago, the dean came to me one day and said, you know, they're starting to call medical care healthcare. And I was teaching in a school of public health, and the focus was on health habits, lifestyle, kind of like Dr. Breslow, dean of UCLA, who discovered that 7 simple health habits were good for an 11-year advantage compared to people who had 3 or less health habits. And this, when you stop to think about it, is huge, because people spend millions of dollars in intensive care just trying to live a few more months. And if you can get an extra 10 years, why not? You know, but the time to start is now, not when you're in intensive care. So prevention, because the things that prevent disease also help the body to cure disease. I believe we were marvelously designed for the body to heal itself. Cuts, burns, bruises heal. Diseases will reverse. Cover story of U.S. News and World Report on how to reverse heart disease, etc. So bottom line, I think we just need a better understanding, and medical care with prescription drugs is not health care. It is the diagnosis and treatment of diseases. And I'm board certified in internal medicine. In my training, I didn't hear anything about health care. It was about disease care. What tests do you order in order to document that this person has diabetes or whatever? And then the treatment, the prescriptions, and so on. But it's not healthcare.
It's often said that big pharma has little interest in curing people, Dr. Ruling, and in the business of customer retention, that's what they're doing. Yet powerful Congress members from both parties are in their back pocket. So why is it medical pros who speak out like this have been treated as crackpots when basically you're seeing medical pros nowadays switching from, well, what was once called medical care to more holistic type healthcare, or even a combination of both?
Yes. I'm happy to tell you there are at least a half a dozen physicians that I've found on YouTube promoting a better diet. Dr. Amen on brain health, Dr. Barnard on diabetes, Dr. Colin Campbell on cancer. He wrote the China study, professor of nutrition at Cornell. Dr. Esselstein on reversing heart disease, and just one after another. Dr. Furman, Joel Furman, and these guys are great, and the reason that the medical profession isn't trained in nutrition, okay? They have it's been said about one afternoon, 3 hours some afternoon on nutrition, and the average secretary knows probably more than the average doctor about nutrition, especially if she has a weight problem. So you know, because they read. But there are an awful lot that's fads and, you know, this diet, then that diet, and so on. I think we need better than that also.
You're listening to Book Spectrum. My guest is Dr. Richard Ruling. His new book is Health, Happiness, and Destiny Come from Wise Choices. What motivated you to take this tack as a professional, Dr. Ruling? I'm sure you had some kind of epiphany somewhere along the line that said, hey, I've been a doctor for this long, but some people are living longer and they're taking better care of themselves. I got to look into this.
I went to Loma Linda University Medical School, and the founder, by the way, that community was featured on the cover story of National Geographic. November issue of 2005 featured Secrets of Living Longer, and Loma Linda was the only blue zone in the Western Hemisphere for its health. The people, many of them live well into their 80s, 90s, even I had one of my teachers died a year and a half ago at 104, Dr. Wareham. He was head of the heart team. They went to Saudi Arabia. They were honored in the White House, and he helped in surgery until he was 95, was teaching other residents on heart surgery. But, you know, 104, I'm 78 and in great health, and I don't see anything coming for me. I think, you know, I'm just glad to be having done it well most of my life. And I believe most people, if they even at any point repent and do it better, they can add years to their life.
I'm with you, too. I have the perfect health of a 78-year-old also. Unfortunately, I am about 50, but that's a different story for a different day. But let's face it, I am guilty of this too. People don't generally eat, Dr. Ruling, correctly. You focus in the book not only on proper eating habits, but the way embracing them can actually fight off diseases.
Well, I believe at 78, I have better health than when I was 35, and I was at the School of Public Health, but I got headaches, could not figure it out. I went to a neurologist across the campus, said, is anything I'm eating or drinking the cause of my headache? And he shook his head and said, that would be very rare for my kind of headache. I later learned he didn't know what he was talking about, and he taught medical students. When I left the university, I went into practice with five other doctors. One was an allergist. People drove hundreds of miles to see him. And one day I said, how many people with headaches do you have? Oh, he said about 9 out of 10. I said, test me. And he told me I was allergic to wheat, gluten, oats, peanut butter, and things like that. And I didn't think that was true because when I ate them, I didn't get a headache. But when I left them out, I had no more headaches. And the way it works is that if you develop an allergy to a food or chemical, it often acts as a poison. And my example is nicotine. When people smoke, they don't get sick. They get sick when they don't smoke on withdrawal. And when the body builds up a tolerance to something that you are allergic to, the withdrawal is, you go in and out of it, you know, based on how much sleep, how much exercise and different things, you can get headaches. But the underlying cause is something you're allergic to. And that's millions of people have problems with chronic disease. It may be a colitis, a gastritis, whatever, but they can't pin it down. They don't know, or it's not bad enough. And if you can take a drug to relieve your symptom, why not? You know, well, why not? It's because drugs are now a leading cause of death, and they also cause other problems on the way to death. So not good. It's better to really get the answers if you can.
Well, that's important, especially about the headaches. I really wish you were around when I was in high school, because all these women that I asked out kept having all these headaches, and I was wondering why. But if you were there, you could have helped them out, and they would have gone out with me. I think that
would
have been perfect.
Well, a lot of women take birth control pills, and birth control pills are a factor in a lot of headaches. And that's why they put caffeine, it's called Cafergot, is a pill for migraine headaches. And there are other drugs, prescriptions that do that as well. Anacin, Excedrin, have caffeine in them, you know, because if you're going through a withdrawal to caffeine, that will cure your headache along with a little aspirin or Tylenol.
Dr. Richard Ruling is with me on Book Spectrum. His new book is what we're talking about. Health, happiness, and destiny come from wise choices. Just a few moments ago, you used the phrase the leading cause of death. It's used to cite the need to take care of oneself and can be used through good intentions, but also as part of a fear-inducing campaign or two. When a layman hears the phrase, the leading cause of death, and that's me. I'm a radio guy. I'm a layman. What can quickly pop in the heads of people like me are heart disease or perhaps cancer. But again, what's this about that not really being it, and it's the drugs, and you really discuss this in your book. I want to get more in-depth on that, Dr. Ruling.
Okay. Specifically, if you were to Google it, CDC, leading causes of death, the top 10, they do not even mention medical care or prescription drugs, which medical literature supports, starting in 1998 on tax day, April 15, 1998, a report of 106,000 deaths in hospitals under monitored conditions. And by the way, the definition of an adverse drug reaction is not an overdose or a bad prescription from, you know, malpractice. It is properly prescribed and administered, but the person just reacted somehow to it, unpredictably so. And that was the cause of 106,000 deaths, besides, I don't know how many million at this point, hospitalizations. And 2 years later, the Western Journal of Medicine published a report on outpatients, people outside. First one was in hospitals. Second one was outside the hospitals, 199,000. Together, they make 305. And that makes medical care the number three cause of death, under heart disease and cancer as number two. Well, then in 2007, on September 10, the Archives of Internal Medicine reported the death rate from adverse drug events increased 2.7-fold. That's almost three times as many. And now it's number one for medical care, okay? And that was on the evening news, but strangely neglected by the CDC, who is in up to their ears in ownership with drug companies, pharmaceuticals. They get the vaccines from the drug companies and then tell everybody they got to have them. They are a bunch of lying bastards, as far as I'm concerned. The word bastard meaning illegitimate, and I think they are illegitimate. You know, that's my opinion.
Dr. Richard Ruling is here, and you can read more about this opinion and why and get more in-depth on it in his new book, Health, Happiness, and Destiny Come from Wise Choices. And those wise choices, as we also discussed before, and I want to jump back on that, are picking the right foods and taking care of oneself. But I must say this, we live in a society which tells everyone to eat healthy. They tell everyone to eat healthy, but in real life don't encourage it with any true moves. To put it simply, Dr. Ruling, and tell me if you agree, if I'm off or not on this one. The average person sees the McDonald's dollar menu is much cheaper than a good healthy grilled chicken salad. How do you deal with people who think of their own bodies with that kind of logic?
Well, in the long run, though, it might cost a little more for produce, might not. If you get packaged fancy, expensive foods, I think it's cheaper to eat on the lean with low cholesterol. Whole grains cost more than the white bread you get, but they say it enriched bread. Well, if you remove 20 nutrients in the refining of wheat and you put back four by law, that's not enriched, okay? They can call it enriched, but it's not enriched. And whole grains, fruits, nuts, vegetables, things like that are better off. The dean of my school was called by the local grocery store, and he said, "Why are people coming to our grocery store to buy the vitamins?" And he said, they come in. Well, the dean had said that they should get their vitamins at the grocery store. So they didn't understand that it was the groceries that they needed to get, not the vitamin pills at the grocery store. That's the inclination that most people have, I guess. But anyway, there are, for example, in the orange, the white around the orange has bioflavonoids, which enhance the vitamin C activity. I would rather eat an orange than drink the orange juice, you know, there's no white. There's just, you know, and it's more active for the body. And I think that we get used to massive doses and the body learns to waste the stuff. As Pritikin said once, depends on how much, how expensive you want your urine to be, you know. Well, because a lot of them are water soluble and just goes out in the urine. But I say, let's eat well. And I'm at 78. I'm in excellent health, and I'm glad that I've done it this way for many years. Actually, in the last 60, 70 years or more, I've had one prescription. I was on a trip, got intestinal flu. I didn't want to stop at every gas station to sit on the toilet, and so I wrote myself a prescription. But beyond that, I have not filled any drug prescriptions. And I would just say, people can do that if they can find the cause of it. And those causes, I saw recently a video by a woman who was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, lupus, and when she was 16. She had stage 4 kidney failure, et cetera, but became a doctor, but didn't find anything in medicine to help her. But somehow when she changed her diet, got on a vegan diet, it was several months later that all of a sudden her problems were disappearing. And so I would just say, interesting commentary on the medical profession and what they know.
Dr. Ruling, let's talk about what's happening now. We're in the middle of what some call an unprecedented worldwide pandemic, with the COVID-19 virus spreading as wide as it has. While world leaders made their mistakes, many of which were based on misinformation from the source and were subsequently corrected, we get that they're not medical professionals. Still, members of the medical community have been coming on with these directives from the doctors in charge, maybe incorrect for various reasons, the bouncing things back, forth, and around, backpedaling, things like that. But what have you seen so far from the likes of the World Health Organization or perhaps Dr. Fauci and company in the U.S. in that respect? And maybe what are they missing and what are people missing as far as taking care of themselves during all of this?
Well, I watched a very insightful video by a Dr. Buttar, B-U-T-T-A-R. You might look for him on YouTube. Very well qualified and very fluent, really, on the issue. And he says that Dr. Fauci, even before Fauci, around 1980, the government decided against germ warfare and were defunding it at Chapel Hill in North Carolina. I might be wrong on some specifics here. But they were defunding it when Fauci came along in 81 and transferred that virus to China, okay, and got it funded there for research there. And it's interesting that Fauci told Trump a couple years ago, 1917, that we're going to have an epidemic. Well, how did he know, you know? And here we have Gates telling everybody that they're going to need to be vaccinated, and he has invested heavily in the vaccination industry. Gates, by the way, is on record of wanting depopulation. If he wants fewer people in Africa, buy them condoms. You know, but what's the deal about vaccinations? And now ID 2020 is the idea that there are more than a billion people that are undocumented, no birth certificate, we don't know who they are, but now they have the technology, they can vaccinate somebody, and it leaves a tattoo behind, and it can tell if you've been vaccinated or not, and who you are, your number, et cetera. Well, this is eerily like a Bible warning. In Revelation 13, everybody's going to get marked, and you can't buy or sell without it. You know, I don't like this at all. It smells bad to me. And the fact that Gates had the answer just before everything broke out, to me, is hugely suspect. There's an excellent fellow, a genius, Len Horowitz, who wrote a book, Emerging Viruses. And he documents how the AIDS and the Ebola virus were man-made and released either in accidentally or intentionally, intentionally, I think so, maybe, on certain populations. I don't like the smell of anything that's coming down the track where everybody has no freedom of choice in their own health care. And Gates said so. He wants everybody, 7 billion with a B, vaccinated on this earth. Not where I'm going. And by the way, I will have to say I'm coming to this from also a biblical perspective. When Christ was asked about the end of the world, he said to read the book of Daniel. And in the first chapter of Daniel, it's a government health plan versus Daniel's health plan. He did not want to eat from the king's table, the king's meat, the king's wine, the king's dainties. He wanted vegetables, etc. Well, he earned a trial period of 10 days and was better after 10 days than the other guys, so they won their point. And the king found him better at the end of 3 years training, and he became a high advisor to the king. But anyway, my point is that we're living in serious times. I think the book of Daniel does have very interesting stuff on the kingdoms of this world, but I know that's not the purpose of this interview, but more in my book maybe. And so far, I would just say this virus thing has been touted and over-hyped. The hype and the treatment is worse than the disease. In fact, a recent study of Stanford University found that it is 50 times more infective, but 50 times less fatal than what has been expected. And I think it's a combination of factors that we're not seeing. Wuhan, for example, in China, it was only a couple, 3 years ago that people risked their lives to protest the air pollution there. It was so bad. Well, here are people with bad lungs, pre-existing conditions, that they and the outbreak was traced to a meat market where you could buy bats, cats, rats, anything you want to eat, you got it. Well, not in my book, you know, and that's not biblical, by the way, Leviticus 11. But two chapters later, Leviticus 13 is about quarantine, and it's not about quarantining everybody. It's we're doing it opposite and reverse compared to what is, and it's ruining the economy. So, you know, I think there's a reason why the Bible is a bestseller, and it still is. And I just say, it's not fiction, in my opinion. Thank you.
The Bible is probably right about all of this, because with all these government-imposed lockdowns, of course, man-made, if you will, they've been counterproductive. We're seeing mass unemployment. Now people won't be able to take care of their families. We're going to see riots if this kind of thing continues. And I know we're getting off of the health issue, but we did segue to it. And it all goes into health, happiness, and destiny come from wise choices. It's not just wise choices with what foods you eat, but maybe all around, too. How about that, Dr.
Yeah.
Rowling?
Yes, thank you.
I want to get a medical doctor's perspective since I have you here. These pandemics have historically had second waves. The media and politicians seem to take the so-called Spanish flu as the forerunner of what it might come in the fall. You're hearing this. Oh, it's going to be a big comeback in the fall. It has to be that because it happened in 1918. I'm not a medical pro, but to a man, the media types and these politicians and many of their so-called experts seem to ignore the second wave's intensity was due to soldiers coming home from World War I carrying the virus from Europe and then into America at one point, then respreading it to their areas of the country and, of course, other nations from one big hotspot to create several smaller ones around the world. That's different. That cannot correlate to this when it comes to reopening for business, can it? Am I wrong?
No, and I'd like to just add to this 1918 thing. That was really the most fatal viral epidemic ever. Worse than smallpox, worse than the Black Death bubonic, and nothing since then has been that lethal, killing 50 to 100 estimated people worldwide, but in this country, 765,000 died. And the overall figures are 10 to 20% fatal in this country, but the U.S. Army had better record. That was they were treated the best with 7%, nearly 7% fatality. But I happen to know that people who went to the Battle Creek Sanitarium, where it was a health-focused, diet-focused, and Dr. John Harvey Kellogg wrote a book, Rational Hydrotherapy. They found that hot and cold would stimulate the immune system. I was in medical school that the hot and cold treatment can double the white blood count. And I was working in an emergency room one night when I noticed I was getting sick with a scratchy throat, runny nose, achy, felt cold, took my temperature. It was normal. Well, they had taught us in medical school that a lot of viruses are killed or arrested with fever. And so here I am, a sitting duck. What could I do to get a fever? And I took a break from the emergency room and filled a tub with very hot water, hot as I could stand. And in 20 minutes soaking, I had a fever of 102.5. And as the water was running out, I took a container of cold water and poured it front and back several times, because that, I've been taught, will double the white blood count. Didn't eat any supper. I wanted the white cells hungry. A lot of times the flu comes after the holidays with cookies, candies, cakes, and things like that. But this is fasting is better. Wait till morning to eat, you know, but do the hot and cold. And I didn't have any medicine. And any. If I'd had vitamin C, I would have taken it. But, you know, the hospitals don't have health products. So anyway, I saw my patients, and at 11 o'clock, I took a second fever treatment, finished with cold. And in the morning, I was well. I had no symptoms. And my point is that the body is the healer, and it can beat the thing if we know how to cooperate. But if you go to a doctor and you're already pre-existing conditions, taking drugs, which, by the way, might be more sensitive, the body will be more sensitive in that setting, not good. I was taught in medical school that under stress, the vitamin C requirement goes from 50 milligrams to 2,000 a day, can, with surgeries, burns, systemic infections. Well, that's what a virus is. So, you know, take some vitamin C and zinc and some elderberry or echinacea or things like that that you don't find in a hospital but might find at a health food store, and be well. basically.
Those are part of the wise choices in your book. Health, happiness, and destiny come from wise choices. Dr. Richard Ruling is with me. He's the author. We're still in the middle of this pandemic, and there are people who are going to get sick from COVID-19 for a little while. What, as a medical professional, what can some of these people do for themselves to help them recover faster if they feel something, even just a symptom or two onsetting, whether it is COVID-19 or not?
Well, the COVID virus was first discovered 80 years ago, 1939, actually. And about one-third of the respiratory flus are coronaviruses. And if you've had a flu shot, by the way, because other viruses are coronavirus, you are... A recent report in the Stanford study showed 36 or 35% more likely to come down with a coronavirus than if you did not have a flu shot. Interesting stuff, and bad on the vaccination part. Even Dr. Fauci early on said that vaccinations are only 10 to 60% effective and in a good year, and this is not a good year. So, basically, it's what we do that counts. If people would cut down on their sugar, I was taught that sugar intakes can lower your immunity, the white blood cell activity. They call it a phagocytic index. The white cells phagocytize or engulf the other germs, and down about 75% on a bottle of pop or something like that. So not good, you know, and people, they don't drink fruit juice. They drink pop these days for the most part. Not good. I would just say let people cut out the sugar, eat fresh fruit and vegetables. And if they get sick, go on a fast where they don't eat till tomorrow. But maybe, the process of getting sick might be a detoxification process for the body. And it can be helped or enhanced if people were to take a little charcoal. They have capsules or tablets in an emergency room. We would give it to people who overdosed and were coming in comatose. We'd pump the stomach but put in charcoal afterwards to adsorb the poison on the surface. It's not a chemical, and there will be no adverse effects, but it can adsorb bad stuff from the system and help detoxify. So take some water, take some charcoal, and then start a half hour later with your vitamin C and other things that might boost the immunity. And that's what I would do, and I wouldn't be afraid. This idea of putting a mask on and going or staying home, totally unnecessary. One study said that the virus can jump 13 feet. I think that's hogwash. I don't think a virus can jump 13 feet. And I believe that there are multiple factors, like I mentioned, the atmospheric stuff in Wuhan, but we got it in this country with chemtrails, painting our skies. Why are they doing that? Especially in the winter when we don't need the skies covered. We want clear sunlight. But you live in the Northeast, you don't get it. It's just cloudy every day, gray. And the other things, 5G, Wuhan rolled out 5G. That was a premier city. And we don't know what that is, but it can give you symptoms. And if you can get past all the garbage, because the big forces are trying to discredit far out stuff. But you need to look at the facts. And I would just say that's 5G can microwaves can be radio waves, not good for the body necessarily. And some people are sensitive, some people are not. It's just like peanuts. Some people are allergic to peanuts, some people aren't. But some people are going to have a problem with 5G and with coronavirus, or maybe just 5G and a few other things. Who knows?
Dr. Ruling, the book, Health, Happiness, and Destiny Come from Wise Choices. What would you like your readers to take away most from reading it?
Well, the three words that everybody would like is health, and I believe that obedience to natural physical laws will bring health as a byproduct. It's not in the genes. Gene expression is based on lifestyle, and if you eat well and get some exercise, it really doesn't matter what your genes show so much. And that's, if you were born healthy and thought to be normal at birth, it's what we make of it later that counts. And happiness is a byproduct of obedience to moral laws. If I lie, cheat, steal, run around, not happy really, And destiny, I think there are spiritual laws, and if we are sensitive to those, and I believe the Bible is a unique book, which predicts, by the way, medical care in our time, because the last ending book is Revelation, the 18th chapter, Verse 23 is a call to come out, verse 2 and 3 is call to come out of Babylon, which I take to be the confused systems of this world, and certainly medical care is one of them. And it says in verse 23, for by her sorceries were the nations deceived. But the Greek word, poor translation, the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakia. The nations are deceived by pharmakia. And somehow God knew that and put it in the book 2,000 years ago. But I think that it's an awesome thing to realize that we're living in times when a lot counts on our understanding of some basic principles, and health, happiness, and destiny are all there if we make the good choices.
Dr. Richard Ruling, thank you again for being with us on Book Spectrum.
Thank you. It's been a great privilege and for an opportunity to share, and I look forward to meeting you sometime. If we're following truth, I believe we're not done. We'll meet again sometime.
I think so, too. And you can find out more about the doctor on his website, healthhappinessdestiny.com. The title of the book is Health, Happiness, and Destiny Comes from Wise Choices. You can find a link to the book on our website, bookspectrum.com. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. Thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.